Welcome back, everybody, to the Science Nights. Today we have a very, very special guest with us, Mr. Jonathan Tweet. As always, I'm Josh, and over there, that's...
I'm Adam.
Jonathan Tweet is actually, we met him through Comics Brew. He is a co-creator of a tabletop RPG called The 13th Age, and we were playing that on Comics Brew, and that's how we met. But come to find out, I love this man for an entirely different reason, separate but equal, I believe. He is the author and creator of the children's book on evolution, Grandmother Fish. Yeah. This is a lovely, lovely book, and that's what he's here to tell us about. So, Jonathan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you bet.
Can you first kind of break down what Grandmother Fish is?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm a dad, and when my daughter was little, you know, I wanted her to have a storybook about our origins that was as good a storybook as any Adam and Eve story or anything like that. And there wasn't that kind of thing, and I set out to write it. It turns out that it's really super difficult.
Yeah.
And so it took me 15 years to finally crack the nut and figure out how to do it right.
So what, I suppose, like, what? Why the 15 years? Where was it along the time span?
Yeah, so, like, I had the idea right away to do something about how we evolved from fish and how our ancestors changed over the hundreds of millions of years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a really cool story, and if you can find a way to teach it to little kids, it's...
That's even seems better,
like,
right?
Seems yeah. like a really good idea.
I have to agree.
Absolutely.
We grew up on the Berenstain Bears and Dr. Yep. Seuss and all manner of young children's book, Curious George, when we get a little older, you know. But this, when reading this, I was like, man, I wonder if my folks would have read something like this to me when I was a kid. Because we also read, like, the Bible and stuff
yep.
at home. Like every Sunday or, you know, before going to church or
yep.
before meals or whatever. So it's really cool to see a secular thing from a totally different perspective. I really like that.
Yeah, and plenty of Christians think that, the human form evolved over time.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Now, your background, as far as I can tell, is pretty heavily fantasy-based. What made you decide to, like, pursue this sort of, like,
from
this
angle? Right, so I was... working on Dungeons and Dragons at the same time that I was working on this,
uh-huh.
you know, and this was sort of the labor of love that I was doing because of my daughter, and I saw how curious she was, and I wanted to be able to explain things really easy, and I mean, I think I explained them, but I didn't have something like this to make it simple.
Sure, sure. So, can you, let's see, there's a resource here in the back that yep. I really want to highlight really quick. So the whole story starts off with it's a succession down the web of life, the tree of life,
right.
over the course of hundreds of millions of years. But here at the back, you have talking points for parents, which I think is phenomenal.
Yeah.
What made you decide to include this and not just have the story itself?
Right. So I'm a huge science geek.
Okay.
Right. And so that stuff really, really interests me. yeah. And I put a lot of thought into what each grandmother does. Like, grandmother fish can wiggle and chomp.
Yeah.
And grandmother reptile can crawl and breathe, and mammal can squeak and cuddle, and ape hoots and grabs, and finally human walks and talks.
Right? Yes, yes.
Well, picking those five ancestors, those are literal ancestors, right? The first fish with jaws.
Sure.
The first amniote, the first placental mammal, the first, you know, sort of ape in the chimpanzee kind of
sure,
line,
sure, sure.
right?
Yeah, and I like that in your different trees, you keep, like, the ones closest related to humans, you keep them closer to where that succession goes.
Exactly. Because,
that was really cool.
Because the whole tree sort of encodes the evolutionary history of all life on Earth, so it's really, really exciting. And then I put so much work into figuring out what those all were going to be, I needed to write in the back and explain,
sure.
you know, mm-hmm. you're telling your kid that Grandmother Fish lived a long, 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 long time ago, but really this is the first Nathostome, and it lived 400 million years ago.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
The real nuts and bolts.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
I think I messed up the order of the questions a little bit, but do you want to grab one?
I think you stepped on mine a little bit is what you're trying to
yeah,
get to, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
he got excited.
Yeah,
he usually does. It's all right. I think the idea was we just kind of give our audience a rundown of what what Grandmother Fish is.
Like, would you mind perhaps reading a passage or two?
Yeah. So, I would be happy to. And you can see the whole thing online on a place called Michael's Storytime.
Okay.
And he reads Grandmother Fish and what have you. And this is our Grandmother Fish. She lived a long, 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 long time ago.
Absolutely. It keeps it in the references that children can understand.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And then the other thing is when you get to Grandmother Reptile, it's only four longs.
Exactly.
And so the kids get that, and then they start counting. And because of the systematic way that the story builds, kids can really focus in it and get drawn in from sort of one grandmother to the other.
Sure. And you keep it in the frame of a family as well, which is good.
Kids love families. Know, right? Kids love families. Yeah, exactly. And so I've seen like a 1 year old sort of understand what was going on when his parents thought, oh, he's too young or whatever. But then when he spoke up about what was going on,
yeah.
he knew that Grandmother Reptile here was Grandmother Fish's baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know, they can understand it on that very basic level.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love this story. So we go on from Grandmother Fish to Grandmother Reptile.
Right. So she could crawl across the ground. Can you crawl? And so the whole point with each one of these is you get the kid to mimic the behavior or mimic the sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So you wiggle like a fish. Or, yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hoot like an ape is really fun.
You get them to, like, I'm sure when moms read it, you get them to cuddle and they're like, aw.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's really, really super sweet, right? So, I mean, fish and reptiles aren't that sweet, but then you get the Grandmother Mammal, and she's nice and furry, and her babies could squeak when they were hungry.
Yeah, can you squeak?
And then this one took me forever. She could cuddle with her babies and feed them milk. Like, how do you put in the words lactation?
Yeah, right? Absolutely, yeah. You can't go, and milk came from her nipples. Well,
and,
yeah.
And then but then you're also going to say, can you lactate? Right? Like, well, it can't lactate, right? So I worked on that, and finally came up with cuddle, and I think it's perfect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The kids love that.
And it works because warm-blooded, they share body heat, you know, and stuff like
and,
that.
Right,
so,
that's
yeah.
That's sort of how mammals became cuddly, was first they evolved this ability for the mothers to feed milk to their babies,
mm-hmm.
right? And then cuddle.
And they have
the
to nuzzle to do that.
Exactly.
You associate that with other behaviors as well. So yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So evolutionarily, it is super related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love as we continue down the tree, the tree of life, it expands even further. You right. went from mostly reptilian to now mammalian, and mammalian goes way out there.
Right. Right. So you can see like primitive whales and early horses and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Right. There's a dinosaur in there on an earlier page.
Yeah.
Right. Grandmother Ape can grab and hoot. Kids love hooting.
Absolutely.
And then hooting is sort of like a precursor to speaking. So
yeah.
Grandmother Human could live a long time ago, right? That's when she lived.
One long time ago.
One long.
Instead of our five longs with Grandmother Fish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've got a video of a six-year-old having the book read to her. And when the mom turns to this page and the kid sees Grandmother Human on it, she realizes that the book is about her after all. It's not just these animals.
Oh, that's perfect.
And the reason that she can do all those actions is that she's a child of Grandmother Fish, right? And you see the light bulb go off in her head.
Nice.
She can hardly speak.
Awesome.
And
then you get that look. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
I love seeing that on kids' faces.
Yeah. And then my artist, Karen Lewis, after Grandmother Human can walk and talk, we get to the end, and there's this massive spread of people from all over the world. And,
yeah.
You know, some callbacks to things that are in the book, like a fish and
mm-hmm.
Dinosaur and that sort
absolutely
of thing.
Absolutely, right.
So,
yeah, you got an ape over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. A little dinosaur there, yeah.
Yeah, we got Steven Pinker's wife because he was a big booster of the book from early on, and Daniel Dennett's son and daughter-in-law.
Awesome.
He was also really big in helping us get off the ground.
Yeah, so was this a Kickstarter project?
Yeah, that's right.
Right on. I was wondering why all the names were on the front and back of the book. And Adam was like, well, it's probably Kickstarter. And I was like, oh.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, over 1,000 backers. It was great.
Awesome, man. What was the campaign like?
So it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I had been involved in Kickstarters before but never really done one. I had a business manager that I had never worked with before. And Karen had never done Kickstarters. And,
sure.
And her style is to sort of do the whole book at once in layers, and we demanded, like, we really need you to do this really cute picture of the rat cuddling,
like, right now.
Because that's gonna make us a bunch of money if you could put your regular process aside and just do this right now.
Yeah, please.
Right.
It's not how I work.
It wasn't perfect, and it was late, but then it also just turned out way better than I ever imagined.
Sure.
It was all those years I was thinking about working on this book. I never thought it was going to turn out this good. And part of it is that because it was a Kickstarter, people would want to pitch in and give me advice and help me, you know. And so, like, I think literally every line I can point to and think about how some playtester or some person at a convention or some fan or some friend or somebody, you know, suggested something and made all the wording more polished. And
absolutely. No, I showed this to we do other productions in this studio too, and I showed this to a couple of people that do a video game show, and one of them was like, "This is awesome! This is incredible!" Like, and like I'm like, "Well, it's mine, so you know." No,
yeah. So Karen is a children's science illustrator.
Okay,
so that's, you know, really just perfect
for a project like this,
and you know, I'm a game designer. She's a professional in the children's field. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to have her on board.
I bet. I was just gonna ask, like, who were your cohorts on this book aside from your 1,000 backers?
Yeah,
which is probably an astounding number to, like, try and wrap your head around.
It's pretty flattering. Right? yeah So Karen Lewis is a local Seattle artist.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so we were able to collaborate, you know, face to face.
That's always good.
That's always really good. And she has super high standards and is sort of perfect for the book, so that was great. I've got a friend named Ash Law who was, he's like one of the big 13th age contributors
and
enthusiasts, and, you know, runs games at conventions and writes stuff and what have you. You know, he told us that we should take the words that we are emphasizing in that text and make, you know, do something special graphically with them. And that really has worked out.
For sure.
So,
because that's the cue you're trying to hit.
Yeah.
Like, right. With long, 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 or squeak, or cuddle, things like that. Yeah. Absolutely. Do you have, like, children's book influences that maybe you drew from for style? Or is this a little bit more Seussian? Is this, like, Very Hungry Caterpillar?
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, I really wanted something that was almost like a nursery rhyme.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, one early title was Old Mother Fish, kind of like Old Mother Hubbard, you know, mm-hmm. and just trying to really get into that rhythm. Because if, you know, at the end, you build to, you know, Grandmother Human had many kinds of grandchildren that could wiggle and chomp and crawl and breathe and squeak and cuddle and grab and hoot and walk and talk, right? Like, I mean, and it's that rhythm that helps kids really get involved in mm-hmm. it. I've had, like, a blogger with kids with autism talk about how great it is for them.
Sure, I bet, yeah.
I've got a friend who says, like, his kid tried to read it out, you know, sort of from memories, the first book he ever tried to do that.
That's
got to
be cool.
It's another little kid who was the first book he ever asked for by name. And,
nice.
You know, just, yeah.
That's so awesome.
That's what I was looking for, something really kind of primeval, you know, something really
something that hits like almost lizard
legendary
brain almost,
exactly.
Right on, man. You got one?
So yeah, I was wondering how you handle feedback or pushback, maybe from, like, creationists or other people that just don't, I don't know, science deniers, I guess.
I'll take that if you'd like.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So Ken Ham doesn't like me.
Right? I bet.
Yeah. We were just talking about him before you came over too.
Yeah. And and that's fine. And I'm on all the social media, so you know, if every once in a while creationists will show up and say something mean or what have you, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of counterintuitive to what they all represent, but whatever.
I mean, it makes perfect sort of tribal sense in terms of sort of us versus them.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So my trick is to tell them that I support their First Amendment right to teach kids whatever they think is true, and don't they support my right as a good American or whatever?
Mm. Perfect. And perfect response.
And that usually shuts them up. Maybe they'll say one more mean thing, and then I'll just sort of
But I don't have to like it.
Yeah, well, right? I mean, they can't really, they no, they don't support my right, but, as in a, you know, they can't admit it out loud and so on.
Right, exactly. Because then you fall down into, okay, so what rights do you support? And
right.
Then, so then not, yep. that argument becomes something else.
Then I'm a better American than them. And there that's kind of what it comes down to. Well, who's a true American and who's on our tribe and who's on our side and whatever.
Sure. Right on. Have you had any particularly memorable ones or?
I did get made into a meme.
Okay.
At some point. which is all about how kids are being indoctrinated into evolution from a young age.
Sure.
And you know, I've had creationists say things like, aren't there already a million books about evolution for preschoolers?
I would doubt it.
And it's like, no, actually, no.
Yeah, this is the rarity of it is what caught my attention in the first place. Is like, yeah. Annie wrote Grandmother Fish, a children's book about evolution. I was like, yes, we need to talk to Jonathan about this for sure. Because that's a rarity. It is.
Strangely, it's a rarity.
Besides, the more the merrier anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Why can't we have more books? That's fine. Is there a... When it came to working out the simplification of Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection, what things did you want to make sure you hit and what things could you kind of maybe... Like, you didn't show the difference between the beaks, for instance.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I wanted it to be really personal, so I wanted it to be all about, you know, our ancestors and our behavior and you know, our bodies and all that sort of thing. And so that's why I sort of stuck to that line, leading up to us. And the real trick was trying to figure out, like, what is the really big evolutionary jump that you're calling attention to right at this point,
and gotcha.
How can you know, like the ape can grab,
sure.
Well, that leads to all sorts of things like holding a pencil or opening a door, tool making, right? And so that's obviously this really important concept.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know where did that come in the
scheme of things, not a scheme of things,
but in our lineage, how, you know, where was it? And so I do these big jumps, right, from sort of one kind of animal to another kind of animal, 100 million years in the future or something like that.
Sure.
And then sort of had to figure out how to get into something really small text, kind of the essence of what evolved there and what sort of put us on this path that we're on.
Sure. Did you ever at once, like, jump into maybe, like, pretend to be the child listening or reading and being like, anything from that perspective while writing it, or always from like from the other side, from the writer's perspective as opposed to the reader's?
So I think mostly I had in mind the parent.
Okay, yeah, that, all
right. Right, like what is a parent going to like saying to their kid and like seeing their kid do or have you, right? You know, I knew early on that parents were going to really like the book. But it wasn't until the book was finished that we knew just how strongly kids would react to it.
Sure.
So that's been really gratifying to see.
Any kind of follow-up or maybe something in the same vein as Grandmother Fish?
Yeah, so Karen and I have done a card game.
Okay.
It's called Clades. And a clade is a complete branch of the evolutionary family tree.
Okay.
Right. Cool. So if you put reptiles and birds together, because birds, they descended from reptiles, right? So you put those together into one group, that's called... the sauropsids, and that's a clade.
Okay.
And so the game is about matching animals, mammals, and arthropods, and sauropsids.
Oh, that's cool.
That is really cool.
That is super cool. And there's one version, which is all animals that are alive today, including humans.
Sure.
They were in there, right? And then there's also a game called Prehistoric Clades. It's basically the same game, but, you know, it's dinosaurs and
kids love
pterosaurs. Yeah. I love dinosaurs.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we always, when we get together and try to determine subjects to go on, we wanted to do archaeology or paleontology because we are all huge fans of dinosaurs growing up. So to see it in a card game, that's probably going to be fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. How many players?
So it's kind of any number of players.
Cool,
you might max out at 8 or something like that. Like, how many can you get around the table?
Gotcha.
But you have a bunch of cards on the table face up, and it's a race to see who can be the first to spot the matches.
Yeah, gotcha.
Like, which three cards go together.
Nice. And so and they actually are part of that family or that.
And then you either, for example, have to have one card from each clade or all three from the same clade.
Gotcha.
Right? And then you do the same thing for environment. So you have flying things and swimming things and walking or crawling things.
Gotcha.
Right? And yeah, so then it gives you all the sort of smaller clades, like the bats are the mammals that fly, right? And then squamates, which is lizards and snakes, they're a clade. They're part of the sarpsid clade, so they're the sarpsids of the land.
Okay,
that sort of thing.
Right on.
So you match according to those.
That's pretty
traits.
Cool.
It's pretty sweet. And so every card has one, two, or three animal drawings on it, all original drawings by Karen.
Nice.
Yeah.
She's amazing, by the way. I don't know if I ever got a chance to say that. She's got some great art. I highly recommend everybody pick up Grandmother Fish.
Thanks.
Yeah. You want to get us out of here?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Where can our listeners and viewers find Grandmother Fish and any of your other works?
So we self-published Grandmother Fish, but that sold out. We went to Macmillan. So now any place that, any major book company can get a book, you can find Grandmother Fish.
Nice.
So as I
nice.
Said, Barnes & Noble, and here in Seattle, I guess I really I want to recommend Ada's Technical Books up in Capitol Hill.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
They were big supporters early on.
Awesome.
I imagine, is it available on Amazon?
It is available on Amazon.
Okay, cool. So we can always point you there too, but Ada's
Technical Books, or really whatever your favorite brick and mortar store is, it'd be wonderful if you went in and asked for it by name.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, sir, for joining us. We had a blast, and we've taken up plenty of your time.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
But be sure to check out Jonathan's stuff, where he sends you. And we'll be taking a week off for Thanksgiving. So enjoy your holiday. We'll enjoy ours, and we'll see you afterwards. Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.